Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is David Martin. Welcome again, David.
Thank you, Father.
We're continuing our conversation, but let's first begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this time together. Fill us with the gifts of your joy and your peace this day as we proceed in following you as disciples of Christ. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So last we spoke, David, you were talking about your own story and the importance of the witness of your parents in that. And how has the witness of your parents helped you in your fatherhood, especially as a Catholic father?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the example they gave me of having truly a living relationship with God, being able to talk to our Lord as a person who lives in our home, who's available to us, who we can talk to, pray to, ask to intercede, that's set for me the model of how my home, Michelle and I, have our home go. Not that our home is perfect, not that we don't have struggles, you know, every day, and we have disagreements with the kids, but we always recenter on the fact that the Lord's going to take care of us, and our joy is going to be in hearing His voice and doing His will. And that's not just between us, but we really try to share that with the children. And I think even at a relatively young age, they're picking up on it. That my oldest daughter is 11, our twin sons are 10, and our little girl is 7. And they're already very able to be in a regular conversation with the Lord.
Beautiful. You're also, in addition to being a father, although not as important, but nonetheless, you are a lawyer.
That's right. On both counts, it's not as important. But I'm fortunate that the way I earn my living and hopefully contribute in society is as an attorney.
Yeah, it really struck me something you mentioned in a conversation we had about being a lawyer as being a profession.
So we use the word profession pretty broadly today, and that's fine because we give respect to people for their work. But in the more literal sense, Father Stephen Hayes taught me, in the more literal sense, there are actually only four historical professions, as I understand it. And the four professions are the four roles where an individual actually took an oath before God to carry out these duties. And the four roles where you had to promise God that you'd be accountable to God for your work were as a priest, as a military officer, as a physician, and as an attorney. And to me, that's worth remembering because there's a level of responsibility in those four roles that are, you could say, are sacrosanct.
It's a very stressful job. How do you balance that stress as a disciple?
It can be, right? I'm not a litigator. That's especially stressful. I'm a transactional attorney, but lawyers, like a number of other areas of work, there's a lot of pressure. You have to get it right. You have to be precise in everything. You're worried about your client. You're worried about the outcome of your client's problems, and you're constantly thinking about what you didn't think of. And so it's very hard to turn that off when you come home. When your whole workday has been precision and pressure, the hardest thing for me, and it's taken me a number of years to learn how to do it, is to get home and let that go. And otherwise, in the times when I didn't, and I still don't on days, but less so, thank God, the times when I don't let that go, I'm not present to my family, and it shows. The times when I do leave that at work, drive home, and be present to my family as husband and father, it's a much better day for us. And the only way I've really found to do that effectively, besides developing the habit, which the Dominicans teach us about the virtues of good habits, the way that I allow myself to do that is I really have to say, God, it's really in your hands. I'm not making the earth turn. It's not about David. It's really in your hands, so I'm going to leave this in your hands and go to do the next thing you have for me to do.
Beautiful. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again is David Martin. David, often when I speak to men and women in the professional world, that stress, which we've been talking about, it very easily can be brought home. And, you know, even as a priest, I see it, you know, we bring home the stress of whatever we're dealing with, both to the rectory, but also, say, when I go back to visit my family, you know. And the idea is you don't want to really bring that back mm-hmm. into your, you know, into your marriage and into your relationship with your children. How do you kind of separate that or break the stress from work, leave it there before going into the home?
Yeah, Bishop Campbell was always fond of using a term called the interior cloister. And what he said was, no matter where you are, whether at work or home or wherever you might be, there's always this interior cloister you should go to. You don't have to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You don't have to be at Mass in order to have a place where you can go with our Lord. And it's important to cultivate that. And I really took that to heart when he said it so many years ago on From the Chair on St. Gabriel Radio, in fact. And I thought, you know, I have to develop an interior cloister. I love to go to Eucharistic Adoration. It's a place of great peace and insight. I certainly enjoy going to the Eucharist, and the confession is very freeing and it clears my mind. But I had to learn that no matter where I was, I could just be in the interior cloister. And so when I drive home from work, I might just say some prayers, have a conversation with the Lord to help prepare me and let go of things. When I get home, I might take a minute and talk to the Lord, or maybe say one decade of a Divine Mercy chaplet. But it is really about recentering. I'll also do practical things. When I get home, I just put my iPhone down and I don't look at it. I don't allow myself to look at work. That's the only way I'm going to really become present to Michelle and the children, is if I intentionally decide, you know, now I've got another focus, and also recognizing on a fundamental level, this is even a higher focus. So don't let go of what's important.
And then, of course, within the home, there is stress. So, I mean, what are ways in which, you know, especially interacting with your children, you deal with the stress of the family unit?
Yeah, that's really good. The first thing is, of course, to get a hold of myself. So if I'm getting in an argument with one of the children, or even with Michelle, is to get a hold of myself and realize, well, where is this going? And what's the point? And in my better moments, I'll draw back and be humble, apologize, or simply be still. And with the children, it's a balancing act, because you still want to be their father. So I have to be clear about what's right and what's wrong, but how I deliver it is important. And I think when I've done that well, the kids pick up on it, and they've learned themselves more and more to step back, think for a minute, put it in perspective. So on our better days, that's what happens. And on our worst days, I'll get angry. And then I'll come back, and I'll apologize to one of the children for getting angry, but I'll also explain to them why what we were talking about was important, or why the kernel of where I was going was correct, mm-hmm. even if I lost my patience. I think there's really no substitute in a family for, just like in a marriage, for repentance and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sacrament of confession in that way is so important, because it teaches us how to forgive in the family.
It does. And frankly, knowing that we're freed by reconciliation, it frees you up to both forgive and also to not take yourself so seriously, because, hey, I'm freed. God loved me enough to forgive me, so it gives me perspective.
Certainly, I think in our conversation down the road, I want to talk to you about the Eucharist and how that kind of helps to live this life, and mm-hmm. then also the sacrament of confession. But before we do that, I kind of wanted to throw a curveball at you,
okay.
which I like to do.
Got my bat ready.
So, you know, one of the popular topics that has arisen in marriage preparation is mentor couples, mm-hmm. you know, where, you know, like an older couple or a more experienced couple kind of works with the couple that's preparing for marriage. I don't know, have you had any experience with that, you and Michelle?
Yeah, not in a formal sense, but in an informal sense. You know, it's a blessing to be able to build relationships in your community. And part of that is because you walk with other people, like you said, who've walked the road even ahead of you. And so I got married a little later, so a lot of my friends got married earlier, so they already had a lot of experience under their belts, and a lot of them are really devout Christians, most of whom are devout Catholics. And they've been a great resource to us in their examples of how they've raised their children and how they live their married life, and very transparent. And then there are just people we've come to know together. I mean, one couple that comes to my mind is a great witness example and encouragement are Chuck and Joanne Wilson. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have spoken with Chuck and Joanne Wilson more than once. And, you know, the thing is, it doesn't take much to go to a good couple who you know are loving. They're never bothered by the questions, and they're never bothered to help you. So you're right. You got to tie into others. There's no way you can do this alone.
And a crucial aspect, I think, of the new evangelization in our context is discipling, you mm-hmm. know, where people who are mature in the faith and following the Lord kind of work with those who are starting out or who need help. And we so often think about this as one-on-one, you know, like say, you know, a man would take on a couple younger men to kind of work with regularly. And I think everyone who's really living the faith maturely needs to start looking at discipling other people.
You're right.
It's crucial. But I also think couples,
mm-hmm. very much
together, need to start looking at maybe some new couples. Because marriage is, I mean, I would say this might be a very bold, radical statement, but living marriage is probably even more difficult than just living discipleship.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I was single for 40 years and tried to live good discipleship. It is much harder and also in ways richer in that I've learned more about myself, my own selfishness mm-hmm. in marriage as a gift. And, you know, Father John Ricardo is fond of saying in priesthood, which is also a deep vocation, he said in priesthood, when there's something wrong with my vocation, between me and God, I know it must be me. But in marriage, when there's a problem in our vocation between me, my spouse, and God, it could be two people. So it is harder.
Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today has been David Martin. David, thank you.
Thank you, Father. This is great.
And until next time, peace and all good.